Well, our lesson today is from the 15th chapter of Luke. And in your pew Bibles, that is page 740. If you got Bible apps, be free to open those up as well. If you want to use your pew Bible, you can do that too. Luke 15, it's the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses just one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Word of God. Well, in that gospel lesson today, Jesus is being criticized because he goes and he makes friends with, and he even eats with sinners and tax collectors. And that's the context for him telling the story, the familiar parable of the lost sheep. If you got 100 sheep and if you just lose one, even as an individual, if you were the owner of those sheep, you're going to take the time out to go out and find that one sheep. And if we'll take that kind of energy for a sheep, what are we going to do for people? Because God says he certainly loves people more than a lost sheep. And he wants to see people who don't know him, don't know his love, don't follow him, to come and know him and understand the grace that he offers. And so a text like this for me raises that question: how can we help others find Christ? How can we be part of that process of reaching out to those who don't know Jesus, never experienced the grace of God in their lives? You know, we have a Tuesday noon Bible study where we go over the lessons for Sunday, and this week one of the women in that study is part of a 12-step program, AA program. And many of you know in Alcoholics Anonymous, the first step is you have to admit you've got a problem that you cannot overcome yourself. It's bigger than yourself. But the second one is you have to believe in a higher power that can help you overcome your addiction. How the lady was saying, you know, some people come in to the 12-step or come into the meeting and they really don't believe in God at all. They're atheists. So how can you do even the second step if you don't believe in a higher power? And as she counsels with people, she says, and I love it, she says, "Sometimes I say, I'll lend you my God for 2 weeks." Isn't that a great, "I'll lend you my God for 2 weeks. You don't believe in God yet, but I'll tell you what, I believe in Jesus Christ. For the next 2 weeks, as you realize you need a higher power to overcome your addiction, you can't do it yourself, take my God. Take Jesus Christ. Pray to him each day for 2 weeks for the power to overcome your addiction." And what she says is after 2 weeks, they don't want to give her God back anymore. They've discovered that there is a God who can help them overcome an addiction. There is a God who can provide, can change their lives with his love, with his forgiveness, with his power. And now the God that was lent for 2 weeks becomes the God that now restores a lost soul. Someone who never knew God now finds God. And so, and that's one of the things I've often seen in the 12-step program with AA. People who are lost, overcome with addictions, can often find the power in God to overcome that addiction, and those who are lost are found. And it's a wonderful thing to see. That's how at least one of our members seeks to find the lost sheep in our community. In Lutheran Curcio, we have a saying that goes, be a friend, make a friend, bring a friend to Jesus. That the key way in reaching out to others is to be a friend. In the ELCA, we call that a theology of accompaniment, to be with others. If one is lost, God seeks out that one who is lost. But one of the things I think we have to caution when you have something like this is you got to be a friend before you can bring a friend to Christ. Don't start by trying to convert people. Be a genuine friend to them. Be a friend whether they respond or not. Be a friend. Be the presence of Christ. Because if we believe God is a God of grace and love, our purpose, our calling is to be that presence of God in our community. Regardless of how the community responds, regardless of how any lost sheep might respond that you reach out to, the common mission we all have is to be God's love and grace to those in our community who don't know Christ. I like to think of it or describe it as hungry people who are sharing with people who haven't found food yet the place you can find food. It's not a top-down, it's not a righteous sinner, it's hungry people together. And if we found a place of spiritual nurture and spiritual life, then inviting others to come. Come and see. You know, lend them your God for 2 weeks. See if by coming they can't find something in Jesus Christ. And we do it in different ways with the preschoolers here today. You know, just loving those kids. And that's what I love about the preschool ministry is it's not deep theology. It's just Jesus loves you and loving them, and they sense that. And that's what you do. That's a ministry. And that reaches out to kids. Like I say, I know we have kids in our preschool, Buddhists and atheists and everything in between. But what each one of them experiences through the ministry of the preschool is God loves you. Jesus loves you. That's one way we live out that ministry. You know, another ministry that we have that reaches out is our Kairos prison ministry. You know, that's men saying, I'm going to go into a prison, and some of those men maybe have a religious background. Some of them come into a Kairos ministry anti-God, and they're willing to share with men in prison the hope of a God who loves them. When everybody else maybe has forsaken you, that we believe in a God of love. And so there are varieties of ways that we can look for the lost sheep, if you will, whether it's through a preschool, whether it's through Curcio, whether it's through Kairos, a variety of ways. But it starts by being a friend, looking for the opportunity to reach out. And not a friend if they come to faith, not a friend if they join the church, but simply being a friend, being the presence of Christ to people in our community. That's the way good evangelism happens. The other thing is, if in our text today it says Jesus was eating with the tax collectors and sinners. He wasn't just staying in the synagogue. Although he preached in the synagogue, he then went out and ate with those who had nothing to do with the synagogue. And part of the challenge that we need to have is, who might God be calling you to befriend outside the church? You know, I'm amazed how many times when I talk to church members and we've got these dinners for eight and it's a great fellowship, and it's great because we're all members, we share values, we share background, we share faith, it's comfortable. But Jesus didn't just stay in a synagogue, he went out where the other people were. And evangelism might says, is there even one person that you might befriend? To say, I'm going to seek that person out. Maybe I have the opportunity for that person. My last church at Dwina Fratsky was, she was about 85 years old, between 85 and 90. And I remember visiting her one day and she said, Pastor, I'm working on my next door neighbor. They moved in 2 years ago and I've been working on him. I keep inviting them to the different events we have at church. They haven't come yet, but I'm working on it. And her neighbor never did come, but she said, that's one person that I can invite. And she just focused on that one for several years to be the presence of Christ and to invite them to come to church to discover a relationship with him. And so that's one of the challenges. Is there a person outside of the church? Just one. That maybe God is calling you to befriend. To say that person isn't church, that person isn't living in that relationship where they experience God's grace as part of their lives. Maybe that one person for the next 2 years is the one person that I try to reach out to. That's what this passage is about. Jesus didn't just stay in the synagogue, he went to eat with the people where they were at. We need to do the same thing. You know, Rebecca is starting her internship with us, and as she was beginning that, it made me think of my internship. One of the more dramatic events that happened is we had some next-door neighbors that we had befriended, and I remember the husband's name, Dwan, because shortly after we'd gotten to know them, they separated. The wife and one small child they had left the house next to us. And a couple weeks later, all of a sudden felt led to just knock on Dwan's door. I'd never been in the house. We had just kind of talked in the front yard. And I knocked on his door, and he didn't come right away. And I knocked again, and finally he opened the door, and he had an empty pill bottle in his hand. He had just swallowed an entire bottle of pills. He wanted to kill himself. And I took him, rushed him to the hospital. In those days, we didn't have cell phones to just dial 911, but rushed him to the hospital, pumped his stomach, spent hours with him over the next several days, just listening to his pain, trying to word a word of hope, of God's presence to him, trying to be that presence for him. And it got him through that. It got him through that time when he was ready to kill himself. But then he left town and didn't hear from him again until the very end of internship. And all of a sudden, it was Dwan. He called me up one morning. He said, I'm back in town. I want to have breakfast with you, Pastor. Can we meet for breakfast? And so I met with Dwan. And as we sat down together, I'll never forget, he said, Pastor, my life has gone from curtains to curtain call. Is that not a great line? My life has gone from curtains to curtain call. He said, you know, my family had fallen apart, my life had fallen apart, I didn't have any faith in God, and now I've got a new job, I've got custody rights with my son, and I found hope where I didn't have hope before. And as our text says, and God rejoiced, the angels in heaven rejoiced, that someone without hope had encountered the love of God and had found hope in his life once again. Who might God be calling you to befriend? I think that's when we read that gospel. Maybe there's just one. Maybe you already know that person you need to reach out to. But to be a friend, not if they join a church, not if, just be a friend. Be the presence of Christ, always with the hope that just as you have known love and grace, they may discover that same reality in the life, in their lives. And like I said, I think it's the attitude we have is of one beggar to another. I found a place of sustenance here. Come, let's find it together. And the other reality when we're reaching out to others is to realize sometimes maybe we're the ones that need to repent. You know, if we have this righteous and sinner attitude, very seldom is anybody going to come to Christ or come to God if they're being preached at from height down to lower. No, we are sinners together, and sometimes we're the ones that need to be called back. Sometimes as Christians, it's so easy for us to become like the Pharisees who grumble about those sinners out there when we need to realize, and you know, we are sinners here, and we continually need God's grace in our lives here. You know, the question is not how could he eat with those sinners, how could Jesus eat with us sinners? How can Jesus eat with us in a country where so many are obese while so many others lack food? How can Jesus eat with us when billions of dollars are spent in storing excess stuff while many throughout the world have makeshift shelters to live in? You know, how can Jesus eat with us when we expect his grace, but we're not willing to offer that same type of grace and love to others? Thankfully, Jesus eats with sinners, including us. He continues to show his grace to us. And every time we get off our high horse, every time we say, Lord, yes, I am the one that needs to repent, the angels rejoice in heaven, because then we receive that posture again. It's not that I am righteous, but that it is Christ who is my righteousness. He is my hope and salvation. So let us thank God that God is always looking out for the lost. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes we need to be called back from a judging attitude to once again accept the grace of God in our lives. Sometimes God is calling others through us in the way that we reach out by being friends. Some can encounter Christ, whether it's through AA, like our one meeting, through Kairos Prison Ministry, through our preschool. There are many different ways that people can be called to know the love of God through our lives. But always, God is seeking the lost that all may know him. Let us rejoice in our seeking God. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, seek us here and now. Let our hearts be open. And let us turn to you in faith. You offer forgiveness. You offer life to each and every one of us. Thank you for that gift beyond what we deserve. Lord, we ask, fill our hearts with thanksgiving. And in our thankfulness, make us eager to share what we have found in you with others. Help us find just that one person that you have called us to touch, that one person that needs to know your love. Bless us to that end, in Jesus' name, amen. Our worship now continues with our offering. And the ushers will just be coming down the center aisle and just encourage you to pass it, the plates to the sides and then back to the center.